It's here and now. Pakistan's new Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif goes to the White House today to meet with President Obama for the first time. Their meeting comes a day after reports that U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan are in violation of international law and human rights. Drone policy is just one of the many issues complicating the relationship right now between the U.S. and Pakistan. So what can we expect from today's meeting? Farahnaz Isfahani was an advisor to Pakistan's former president, Asif Zardari. She's also served in the country's parliament, and she's with us now from the Wilson Center in Washington, D.C., where she is a resident scholar. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, first, just tell us a little bit about Nawaz Sharif. His election marked the first civilian transfer of power in Pakistan's history.
All democratic entities in Pakistan have felt that this is a major moment. Not only did the last government withstand a lot of pressure, but complete its five-year term, but having also a peaceful transition to a new democratic government is something we all take a great deal of pride in. And therefore, Mr. Sharif being invited to Pakistan to the United States so soon after coming into office, it makes us all feel proud.
Well, what should we know about him?
Mr. Sharif leads a center-right party. He has been prime minister twice before. This is his third time around. And the two most major parties in Pakistan, one is obviously the Pakistan People's Party, which was led by former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, and Mr. Sharif is the other one. But Mr. Sharif is, more traditional in certain ways and closer to a less secular point of view.
Closer to a less secular point of view.
Yeah, in terms of, the Pakistan People's Party or the ANP tend to be more pluralistic and have more sort of minorities and women within their party ranks and in parliament, etc. Mr. Sharif is in that way a little more conservative.
Well, what does he want out of the Pakistan relationship with the United States, and how does it differ from what President Obama is looking for?
Well, I think this is unfortunate. Where it's clear that the United States wants to show support for democracy and civilian rule in Pakistan, and that makes the meeting positive. Number one, the Obama administration invited Mr. Sharif. The administration released $1.6 billion in aid. But major issues remain unresolved. The U.S. remains concerned about Pakistan being a jihadi hub. Pakistan continues public protests against drones. So Prime Minister Sharif's visit restores engagement, but the differences and the lack of trust between the two sides is far from over.
Well, you say the U.S. is concerned about Pakistan being a jihadi hub. Your husband has said that the government of Pakistan supports terrorism. Do you agree with that?
There are definitely elements within Pakistan, as former Prime Minister Gilani called it, the state within the state, who have definitely supported jihadi groups, firstly in Afghanistan and in Kashmir. And now, unfortunately, those jihadi groups have started, they've come home to roost. And we are seeing suicide bombings and sectarian killings by these very jihadi groups today. So Pakistan is suffering the backlash of the support of these groups.
And Farah, I should say that for listeners who don't know, your husband is Hussein Haqqani, the former Pakistani ambassador to the U.S. What about the issue of drones? Do you think that anything can be resolved, especially after the reports yesterday, about the U.S. drone policy in Pakistan?
Well, there were two yesterday, the Amnesty report and the UN report. And the UN report said clearly that in some cases, senior government figures gave their approval to the drone strikes. and that there was strong evidence that between June 2004 and June 2008, there was active consent and approval of senior members of the Pakistan military and intelligence services. And this is the report authored by Ben Emmerson, the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights and Counterterrorism. So this cannot be discounted. Also, former military dictator President Pervez Musharraf said in an interview to CNN earlier this year that his government had given approval, though he said only on a very few occasions. So the issue really in Pakistan is public narrative. In private, what I have referred to as the elites, the ruling elites, yeah, have worked hand in hand. Regarding the drones, and the drones have, as I've said publicly, have been needed. They cause perhaps less collateral damage, far less collateral damage than Pakistani F-16s would. It is a very dangerous area. And there is an argument to be made that, of course, doesn't deal with the legal issues of this question.
But you're saying so privately that they may say they support the use of drones, but publicly, for a domestic audience at least, the Pakistanis don't want to say that. We just have about a minute left, but I want to ask you, what do you think Americans should know about Pakistan that they don't? Are there misconceptions that are causing a problem in the relationship?
I think the problem is that the narrative that has been spun by the governing elites, and by those I mean the permanent establishment of Pakistan, has run this anti-American campaign, has run this anti-drone campaign, and has in a way brainwashed the Pakistani people. And that has really adversely affected Pakistani's own view of who is causing terrorism in Pakistan and who the enemies are of Pakistan are in the world. So it is very important for Americans to know that Pakistanis do not hate them, except they have been taught to hate them.
Farahnaz Isfahani, speaking with us from the Wilson Center in Washington, where she is a resident scholar. She was also an advisor to Pakistan's former president and served in the country's parliament. Farahnaz Isfahani, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.